Blog Talk Radio.
Child of the Most High God, and to know that He loves me. Hallelujah. He loves me, and He loves you too. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God today, and to know that His word is true. The title that I was received this morning was, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Do not judge appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Jesus spoke these words to the leaders of the church, to the leaders of the synagogue, because of course they wanted to kill him. Yeah, why? Because he told the truth, and they couldn't handle it, because he didn't mince words. Because he healed on the Sabbath. But yet they did anything and everything they wanted to do on the Sabbath. But he healed on the Sabbath. And he did it in the synagogue. The appearance of thou shalt keep the Sabbath holy. But really they didn't. I think that keeping the Sabbath holy would be all right with God if you were healing and helping someone. Jesus had to deal with so much church doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those that were in charge of the temple that he could barely do what he came to do because they were so stuck in doctrine and not in salvation, not in souls being saved. It was not about salvation. It was about the law. And we try to get into that doctrinal nonsense that we forget it's about salvation. God wants as many souls saved as possible. We have a soul harvest. As I say, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Are we ready to work as ministers and teachers and preachers and pastors and evangelists and apostles, prophets, elders, and all those titles that are out there? Are you doing the work that God called you to do, which is to give the word to the saved souls, to introduce Jesus Christ to those that do not know him? Just something to think about and to thank God our prayers have been answered. Ceasefire in the Middle East. So thank you all for praying for God to stop the violence and babies being killed over there, children dying for things that they have no control over. So thank you for your prayers. Remember, righteous prayer avail much. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with humble hearts, Lord God, ready to receive your word, ready for the word to touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Father God, we ask you to increase as we decrease. Lord God, let our hearts be open and minds ready to receive this word, oh God. And Father, I ask you to give me what to say, that I will speak your words and not mine. In the name of Christ Jesus, Father, I lift up our nations. I lift up this planet, asking you, Lord God, to guide us, to lead us in the right way we should go. Well, Lord, you are magnificent and mighty, and we are your humble children, thanking you for your awesome and mighty Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for all of our sins, sins of those that have received him and those that have not. Lord God, we pray for the harvest of souls to be saved, that our families will be saved, that our church bodies will be saved, that the man and woman on the street will be saved, that the man and woman in the grocery store, and that our children will be saved on schoolyards. Lord, we're praying salvation for the masses, that no one will have to go into the pit because they know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Father God, I pray salvation today, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. For again, Father God, you are my strength and my redeemer, and I cannot do this without you. Increase, Father, as I decrease. And I thank you in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, my Savior, for this basic instruction before leaving earth that you have given me an assignment to read, to teach, and to meditate on day and night. And I thank you, Jesus, and I thank you, Father God, for this mighty word. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who truly is the source of my strength. There is much to be done. Much to be done. But we trust God. We must trust God, that all things will work for our good because we trust God. So many times we say, oh, I got faith. But understand, faith is an action word. It is an action word. You've got to not only say you have faith, but you got to show you have faith. You know, yesterday, I thought I was going to get my tires rotated, but instead I had to get 4 tires. And all I could think about was, Lord, you know I don't have money for 4 tires. But God said, you need them. Have faith. And I did. I had the money to buy those 4 tires. Bothered my spirit because I had that money budgeted for something else. That still I'm going to have to take care of. But the bottom line is, when we ride in our cars, we're riding on faith that our tires are good and that everything will work out. But I had a nail in one tire. The tread was wore out in the other 3, and they said, sorry, we can't rotate these because they really are not in good shape. But then I realized that they're the same tires that were bought with the car. Gave me over, 49,000 miles, which is pretty much right. About 50,000 miles tires is what they're supposed to last you. So I said, okay, God, I'm getting the 70,000 mile tires because I'm riding this car in faith that it's going to last for 70 more thousand miles. Because we trust God that all things are going to work out for our good, but you got to take care of what God gives you. And when your car needs tires, you got to get tires. When your body needs water, you got to drink water. When your body needs food, you got to eat. Our soul needs the word of God, so we got to meditate on it day and night. We have to meditate on the word. This word is so important, but we cannot be hypocrites about it. We can't say, oh, I'm going to meditate on the word, but yet you don't trust it. I got faith, but yet you walk in fear. God is wanting us to do the work that we're called to do. What is your assignment and are you doing it? I can tell you, I'm doing. But there's so much more that I need to do. And God is saying, it's time to go to work. So I say to you this morning, family, it's time to go to work. So let's go to work. Let's get into our word this morning. And as always, this is Friday. And on Friday, we either have a New Testament word or an Old Testament word or a combination of both. Because I do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday's words combined on Friday and Sunday. Because I don't do a blog on Saturdays because even God rested on the sixth day. And God has given me an edit that I have to rest. And he gave me the Sabbath to do it on. So I blog on Saturday, but I will be back on Sunday, first day of the week. But anyway, getting into our word this morning, God gave me the New Testament, which is going to be coming out of John chapter 6, starting at verse 52, and we'll be going up to chapter 7. And we'll go to chapter 7, verse 53. Nope, I'm all right. Hold on. Yes, chapter 7, verse 53. So let's get started. And if time permits, we will go into the Psalm and we will go into Proverbs because on Sunday we will be in the Old Testament and we will be talking some serious stuff going on in the family of David. As we talked about yesterday, we know he kind of stepped out with Bathsheba and got Uriah killed and repented, lost a child. I mean, David went through because David was a hot mess. I'm just calling it like it was. But, and he repented. He repented. But through it all, he had to go through some stuff. Child against child, child killing child, you know, child raping child, you know, ooh, so much he had to go through because of one misstep. And that was infidelity. We all go through because of maybe one misstep, not looking at the bigger picture. Not looking at our future, not looking at what has to go forth and how we can be so up here and then down here. How you can be wealthy and poor. How you can be up and down, employed, unemployed, healthy, sick. So much goes on in our life, but one misstep can change the course of our existing that we all can do and need to do is repent. When you mess up, clean up. And sometimes our mess is a whole lot to clean up, but it starts with one piece at a time, one thing at a time, and eventually everything will be put back in order. We just got to trust God. So let's get started in our word together. Please join me in the New Testament, and we're going to be starting in John chapter 6, verse. Swear it out, and as always, I am, not always, but today I am still coming out of my New King James because I just happen to be one of those people that like New King James. I believe that God's word is true and that we should take that whole word together. But what we're going to do is start actually at go back to yesterday's words, and we're going to start at verse 41 in John chapter 6, but we're going to start in verse 41 instead of in 51. And the reason being is I want to make sure that we have the whole thing in context. One thing that that I have an issue with is when I hear people preach a word, preach it out of context. They'll take one word and they'll go for it. I mean, I've seen hoop and hollering from one end of a platform to the other, sweat flying, spit flying, and it's all out of context. All out of context. And the reason you know it's out of context because you've read the word. And so that's why I say study and read the word yourself. When somebody gets up to preach and they say, and I'm coming out of, read it yourself in context. Because then it makes sense. What are they talking about? So we're going to go back and we're going to read it in context. And, you know, I love how the Bible in certain instances will put like a title over a certain section of the word. And so you have a title. Your word is already preached for you. All you have to do is read it. And our word this morning is preached for us. All we have to do is read it. And this is what it says in verse 41. Rejected by his own is a title starting at verse 41 of John chapter 6. And it says the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will rise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am, can y'all hear that? I am in there. I talked about it yesterday. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Did he say it for the Jews? No. Did he say for the Gentiles? No. He said for the world. The Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, that how can this man give his flesh to eat? Now they're thinking cannibalistic stuff. And he's talking eternal life. I'm going to die. This body is the bread. The blood that I will shed will be the wine. And if you believe in me, take and eat of who I am to have eternal life. And it says this, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. And we feed on Jesus with the word that he has spoken, the word that he has given us. We eat on Jesus. We got to eat the word. We got to drink the word. We got to know the word. For the word is truth and life. No man will come to the Father except through the word who is Jesus Christ, our Savior. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Hallelujah. We got to know who he is. And it says, this is the blood which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna, are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And you know they hot now. And then it goes on to tell us that many disciples turn away. He lose some folks because they're like, what are you talking about? He's eating them. I need no bliss. What's he talking about? And this is what it says. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard thing. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. I'm going to say it again. Jesus had to break it down. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? Bam! He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. But he already knew that. And what he said, I'm going to read it again. Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? Bam. Jesus didn't play. He didn't miss words. He told the truth, and the truth is what sets us free. But let me give you a couple of life lessons, and this is from my woman's study Bible, and I will go back and go over our Charles Stanley life principles as well. And it says this, there has been much debate concerning the meaning of eating Christ's flesh and drinking his blood. Some have argued that these words are reference to the Icarus. However, nothing in the immediate context warrants this interpretation. Rather, eating Christ's flesh and drinking his blood are vivid metaphors describing the kind of relationship true believers must have with Christ. The necessity of food intake in the physical realm carries over as analogous to receiving Christ. Partaking of his blood in a figurative sense in order to have spiritual life. Bam. Jesus' followers must be willing to identify with him and assimilate his life within their own lives so that they will be willing to suffer and die with him. Clearly, not many who were following Jesus at the time were willing to so identify themselves with him. Many walked away because the teaching was too hard. After this, Jesus addressed the 12. These verses, and this is verses 68 through 71 of chapter 6, these verses represent the kind of confession given by Peter in the Synoptic Gospels. Jesus is the Son of the living God, and he alone has the words of eternal life. Thus, John was presenting the 12 as true followers of Christ because they were the ones who stuck with him. And we all know that there are people that will stick with you, and there are people that will not. There are people that will be your friends, that will be your friends to the day you leave this earth. And then there are people that will not be. There are people that will be in your life from birth to death, people that will not be. There are some folks that are only in your life for a season. And there are those that will be in your life till both your seasons are gone. But we have to look at whoever they are. Trust God to send the right people into your life. And this is what it says for Charles Stanley from my Charles Stanley Study Bible, which is our word that we go by. This is the Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year by Dr. Stanley. And that is the Bible that God gave me for this year. But he also gave me my Women's Study Bible. Again, my ministry is women's ministry. And so I do stand on God's word. Word is true. Whichever Bible you're reading it from, as long as it is a true word, you're fine. Don't go, every Bible is not God's Bible. If you can't compare what you got in the Bible you're reading, the King James, or to the Greek or Hebrew Bibles, then it's probably not a good thing. I also have a Greek and Hebrew Bible. It's in Hebrew, but it has the English translation. And it's also in Greek, and it has the English translation. And so I study from it. It's just huge. And you have to take time because the print on the English side is very small. So you have to kind of take your time reading it. But there will be some words that we will go back to the Hebrew context, or the Hebrew text in the right context. So let's keep going. And it says, difficulties and victories. The Christian life is difficult. No one knew that better than the disciples. As they listened to Jesus speak about his mission on earth, they were challenged. The things he spoke of were hard to accept. Scripture teaches many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is hard," saying, "Who can understand it?" From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. John 6:60-66. Perhaps you have encountered difficulties that have made you want to turn away, but you didn't. The disciples faced the crucifixion, which was the most disheartening and dreadful event they could ever experience. Their hopes and dreams of an earthly Savior were destroyed, but they also experienced the glory of the resurrection, which showed them God's greater mission of salvation. The disciples that stayed with Jesus were able to see Jesus risen from the grave. Peter testified, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Acts 2:36. Peter was able to see God's victory. When whichever of your dreams seem to have died, don't walk away. Jesus desires to show you his glory in the most difficult issues you face, no matter how difficult the situation. If you stand by the Savior, you will see the victory. Hallelujah. I thank God for this word this morning. You know, God knows exactly what you need when you need it. And these are some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. In John 6:66, from the time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more, Jesus did not try to talk unwilling disciples into staying with him, nor did he make things easier for them so that they would reconsider their relationship to him. He wants eager followers, not fickle fans. Can the church say amen? Y'all all know what I'm talking about. There are churches that were like the church du jour. I call it the church of the day. You know, everybody was flocking to that church. It was the mega church. It was the church that had it going on. They had the best band. They had the best choir. They had a pastor that could preach from here today and all the way up into next week. But then, all of a sudden, another church du jour rose up on the other side of town. So then they followed over there. And all of a sudden, you look around and you're like, where did everybody go? Because they follow the will-o-wisp. Just follow the will-o flows this way. There they go. The will-o wind comes, the will-o goes this way. There they go. Whichever way the will-o-wisp, that's where they go. All over the place. Church after church after church, place after place after place. But never finding a foundation. But the one thing that I can say to that pastor, the ones that stick with you are the ones that God has planted with you. They've been with you through the ups. They've been with you through the downs. They've been with you through the crowds. They've been with you through the few. Those are your disciples. Those are the ones that are going to stick with it, especially if you know what you're preaching is true for Jesus Christ. So many preach false doctrine. We can't preach false doctrine. We got to preach the word. Preach the word. You can't say, somebody's saying, oh, well, they're not preaching. No. You, what did the word of God say? Not what I said, but what did God's word say? That's why you preach the word of God. And you pray continuously. Lord, give me insight. Lord, give me understanding so that I don't take your word and mess it up. And as Dr. Stanley said in John 6 and 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Time come for us, all of us, when a life of faith in Christ seems less attractive than we expected. Yet, here's the question. Can we find a better offer than the eternal life Jesus alone promises? We all want to see the Lord one day. Don't try to rush God. You got folks out there now, these Armageddon cults wanting to rush God. I tell you, you better back it up. You don't know what you're talking about, and you don't know what you're asking for. Because I can tell you one thing, it's not what you think. You need to take a time out and read the word yourself. It's called Revelations. It's not lovey-dovey. It's some serious business. And it's not what you think. And I can tell you now that a whole lot of folks trying to force the hand of God, who think that they're going to be gods, who think that they got it going on and they're going to be sitting in heaven's gates because they're going to do it themselves. I tell you what, you better back off because God don't play that. All your money in the world can't buy you into heaven. You can't buy your way in, can't negotiate your way in, and you can't lie your way in. Alternative facts don't work with God. Wow, I didn't know where that came from. But obviously God wanted somebody to know it. But anyway, let's get to the rest of our word for this morning. And we are in John chapter 7. And I'm going to tell y'all, it is a great word. It's a great word. So let's get into John chapter, and I'm going to give you titles because I'm coming out of my study Bible, which is the Women's Study Bible. And so we will, if time permits, go back to Dr. Stanley and some of the words that he has given us as far as life lessons, life questions, life examples. But in my study Bible, it says it's Jesus' brothers' disbelief. Now, if you go into some places, they say that Mary didn't have any more children, that those are all stepbrothers and sisters. They was all Joseph's kids, but they weren't Mary's kids. That's a lie. These were his brothers. These were the children of Mary and Joseph, and they were his siblings. And so this is what it says. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand, His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee, the heavenly scholar. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, he is good. Others said, no, on the contrary, he deceives the people. However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? The people answered and said, you have a demon who is seeking to kill you. Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work, and you all marveled. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And that is our title for today. And I'm saying it again, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. What a word. And then we go into chapter 7, verse 25. And this section, and this is 25 through 35, through 36. And it says, could this be the Christ? Now folks are starting to question some stuff. It says, now some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. And they're like, well, isn't that Joseph's kid? I think that's Mary and Joseph's kid. We know where he's from. How can he be the Christ? Because we're not supposed to know where the Christ is from. But we know Mary and Joseph. Yeah, we know them. You know all the boys and that girl, them girls over there. We know them, that family. Who is this kid? Oh, I know he's the oldest, but, make you wonder, don't he? And then the whispers. Well, you know that they say she was, you know, before they got married. You know, but no, we got those people out there. But these are folks, however, we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. Then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me, and you know where I am from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. And many of the people believed in him and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these, which this man has done? This is what the next section says. Jesus and the religious leaders. The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Then the Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go, that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing that he said? You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. And then he goes on to say the promise of the Holy Spirit. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And then the question is, who is he? Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard of this thing, said, truly this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. You can't touch him because it wasn't his time. When it's not our time, we're not going anywhere. God is the one that chooses everything. And this is what it says, rejected by the authorities. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Then the Pharisees answered them, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. And everyone went to his own house. Isn't it amazing how it was a prejudice? I'm just going to call it. It was a prejudice against Galilee. It was a prejudice from the folks in Jerusalem, because the Galileans were fishermen. They were common folks. And it's like, what can come out of there? You know, they weren't the scholars. They weren't the educated. They were just low fishermen as far as these folks was concerned. But understand, God chooses who he chooses. And the fact that they didn't have a clue that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised in Galilee. Understand, we all have a story. We all have that place that we come from. You may not know. I was born in Kentucky, but I lived in Illinois the majority of my life. So what can come from Illinois? Someone that came from Kentucky. Just like, what can come from Galilee? Someone who was born in Bethlehem and fulfilling the prophecy as you see and as you look and as he stands, he's fulfilling the prophetic word about him by Isaiah. It's easy to sit in judgment, but it's hard to hear the truth. And Jesus was the truth. He is the truth. He is our Savior. Just take a second to think on that. Just take a minute to think on who he is. He is Jesus, the Holy One, He is our breath of life. He is everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. Just take a minute. To think on who he is. Hallelujah. A few life lessons. And we're going to go. We're going to go to chapter 7, verse 5. Even his brothers did not believe in him. Jesus' younger brothers had grown up with him in Nazareth. And while they might have heard about Jesus' extraordinary birth, they did not believe until after the resurrection. Only then did they come to faith. So they knew the story. I'm sure it had been spoken in their home. You know, they were in Galilee, they were in Nazareth, they were all over the place. But they were all the line of David. And they knew who their brother was. And it says it again. Jesus' younger brothers had grown up with him in Nazareth. And while they might have heard about Jesus' extraordinary birth, they did not believe until after the resurrection. Only then did they come to faith. John 7 and 17, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. The best way to understand the word of God is to decide to obey it. Whatever it says, we put ourselves in great spiritual danger by trying to understand the Bible without first committing to obey God. And we're going to go over really quick to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, verse 47. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things, deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. And, you know, I mean, many of us, you know, we'll quote this scripture, but it's in the context of it. Where much is given, you're going to go through some stuff because much is going to be required of you. Much more is going to be required of you than those that don't have as much or that have not been called to do as much. And I love this word. It says the best way to understand the word of God is to decide to obey it. Whatever it says, we put ourselves in great spiritual danger by trying to understand the Bible without first committing to obey God. Much given, much required. We've got to obey the word of God. We got to study on it. We got to meditate on it day and night. And another life lesson says this, John chapter 7, verse 30, therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Several times Jesus' opponents wanted to take him by force or eliminate him, but God did not permit any of their plans until they fit his timing. His sovereign will controls all of history. God's will be done. Chapter 7, life lesson, verse 37. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Because God made us for an intimate relationship with himself, our deepest needs cannot be met anywhere else but in him. Jesus offers the only satisfaction for spiritual thirst. I will free you and I will find you. We got to look for Jesus. We got to seek him every day. And how we find him is in his word. It's in your prayers. When you don't know what else to do, get on your knees. Get you a prayer pillow and use it. It should have your knee prints in it. And that's not you, as I'm talking me too. I pray, but I'm not always on my pillow, and I need to start utilizing my prayer pillow. Thank you, Prophetess Diane Shaw, that awesome woman of God made my prayer pillow. And all I can say is thank God for her. And as we continue, signs, it says, how many signs are enough for those in the crowd who believe in Jesus? He had done enough. They said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? John 7:31. Others were doubtful. They needed more wonders before they could believe. Do you ever feel as if you need a big, obvious sign from God? Do you ever want proof that God is going to do as he says? Would a miraculous gesture convince you that God is going to be faithful? In Luke 16, Jesus answered such a sign-based faith with a parable. As a rich man faced the torments of perdition, he felt certain that his brothers had a special messenger. We were talking Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, that they would take heed of the judgment awaiting them. Therefore, the rich man asked Abraham to send the poor man, Lazarus, back to earth from heaven to give his brothers the message of salvation. Abraham did not honor his request. Whether he revealed a sobering truth, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded to one rise raised from the dead. Jesus voiced a similar theme in John 7:28. You both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true. You know Christ and his character. You know that he has the ability and wisdom to help you. After all that, do you still doubt? People who do not believe God's track record will hardly be convinced by miraculous signs and wonders. A.W. Tozer has written, the unbelieving mind would not be convinced by any proof, and the worshiping heart needs none. We see it every day played out on our news channels. We see it every day played out in front of our eyes. You have folks that would prefer to believe a big lie than a truth. Folks that would prefer to believe that a certain situation didn't happen, that it was just some tourists, you know, having a little rough time, you know, no big deal. But you got to call the truth, and a lie a lie. The truth, yes, President Biden won the election, 80 million plus votes. January 6th. Yes, rockets were flying back and forth between Israel and Palestine at Gaza. And it was a lot going on in the Middle East, but God. And I say this, no offense to President Biden. No offense to President Netanyahu, but God stopped the violence. God stopped it because the time is not yet here. God controls it all. And we better believe it and understand it. And the question is, do you keep asking for signs in order to believe? Then you're asking for the wrong thing. Instead, look to God. He has been faithful throughout history. He will certainly be faithful to you. If you need assurances to the trustworthiness of his character, you have a huge treasure trove of examples in Scripture. So make your faith sure. He will do as he said. You can be certain of it. God will do what he says he will do. He will stand on his word. we have heard in many songs, he will stand on his word. He always comes true. It always comes true. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Fred Hamilton sings it. But we know the word of God tells you, no weapon formed against you will prosper. God is going to keep them tongues behind their teeth that try to talk about you. So I say, stand on the word of God. Do what God says do, and everything else will fall into place. God, and I know he loves me, and he loves you too. And that is our word this morning. Time goes too quick. But I know that the word of God, we're going to stand on it. We're going to believe it. We're going to trust it. God is good, and his word is what we stand on. And this is a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. Trust God's timing. Come on, y'all. He is never late. God is always early. He's always on time. Have a fantastic Friday. And as always, our sister in Christ is on the word. It's as if God just puts it in her heart, and she knows exactly what I'm going to preach, even when I don't know what I'm going to preach. But I thank God for his word this morning. I thank God for each and every one of you. Thank you so much for listening in. I hope that you got something. I pray that you got something out of this word this morning, that it touched your heart as it touched mine. For God's word is true, and when we stand on his word, everything else falls into place, family. In all you do, please join me on Sunday as we go through 2 Samuel. We're going to talk about David's family and his sons and his daughter and so much. It's a lot going on Sunday. So please join me on Sunday as we read the word of God and talk about it. Thank you again. God bless you all. Be blessed and know that he is God. And do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Thank you so much. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent ones from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a fantastic Friday. Have a faithful Friday. Have a stand on his word Friday. And as Sister Carolyn says, have a fantastic Friday. Trust God's timing, family. He is never late. God is never early. He's always on time. Thank you so much for listening in. It is a wrap, y'all. It's time to do what? It's time to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Thank you so much. Be blessed. It's a wrap. And God willing, I'll be here 7 a.m. Central Time on Sunday with a word from God. It's a wrap.